Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Topically Yours show on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Shuley, your host, and today we're going to talk to a very positive fellow. And when I first heard of him, I produced him on the Teen Station show, another Blake Radio program, since Tim works with a lot of kids. Tim finds talented youth all across this nation and utilizes their talent via music and film, TV, and everything else. He even has a blind filmmaker and producer, Elizabeth Harrington, and the storyboard artist, 13-year-old Rebecca Lowry, and Nyara, a songwriter and singer, among his cachet of talent. Recently, Nyara made history by being the youngest artist to go cyber platinum in pre-sales for her dance single. Tim, born in Philadelphia, and I might say precisely at 32nd and Diamond Streets, and reared in Oakland, has a positive attitude and an adventurous spirit. I understand he plans to release a documentary, From Tragedy to Triumph, next year, and he's constantly involved in working with the community. I know Tim is about to attend the Charlotte Black Film Festival, so we'll ask him about that. And we'll ask him about all the interesting things he's been doing since we last featured him on Blake Radio. So how are you, Tim?
Wow. I can't say anything. You said everything. So. I'll be quiet right now. No. Great to be on the Blake Radio Network, Deirdre, and on your fabulous show, Topically Yours. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everyone, if you're overseas. It's, you know, just a lot going on, and that's just in one day, all the stuff you mentioned. So.
But, well, you seem a very, very busy bee. Were you born in Germantown in Pennsylvania?
But not really. Usually more New Jersey. But I don't even claim anywhere because I've always been on the road. I've never been any place. If I'm in any city more than 2 or 3 weeks, something's wrong.
You have to glue up somewhere.
No, I've been I've been traveling since I was a kid. So I started very young. That's why I was able to do as many things as I did at my age now. And people still can't believe. You know, thinking about my 50s, 60s or something. But, you know, you start young. Just like I'm starting a lot of these kids out at 9 years old. I met Elizabeth at 9. And now she was just on ABC TV with me on Saturday, this past Saturday. So
wow. Cool.
It's, and, you know, then Naira met her at 9. That's on a news show called Visions. It'll be, I'll send the blast out all over the world. But it was an excellent segment. They followed us for a couple months and taped like 4 hours of footage on us. And it's a fabulous piece, probably, you know, one of my even better news stories, you know, so far, even though I had tons of stories from CNN on up. But they really did a good story, and Elizabeth really knocked out the interview. So that's the thing, you know, you start young. I mean, I was on TV probably at 9 years old. So, you know, I never really...
So were your parents TV folks themselves or just...
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, it's
they
just
saw your talent?
Not at all. My mom put a book on the table. It was How to Break Into Commercials. So, of course, I said, let me look at this book. And that was it from that one book. I think she saw it on a TV commercial. And from then on, I, you know, was able to get people in commercials when I was like, what, 15? I was booking people on commercials and cruises and everything. So I just had a knack. And then I was always traveling, playing tennis, so I never really claimed one place. And I'm still on the road. I'm going to be 106 and still be on the road, you know.
Okay,
so, but
I'll keep you going.
But that's what, you know, that's just what I was put here to do. And then, you know, inspire people, you know, all over the planet, from London, Italy, to Japan, where I had a radio and TV show, to, you know, all the ends of the earth. And thanks to the internet now, you can be global. And just market yourself. And that's what I'm doing. Tyler Perry has his niche, and I have my own road of doing hip-hop Disney type stuff. No guns, no cursing. And it's positively motivating. And we pick out some of the great kids all around the country.
What gives you that positivity? I mean, you seem like you have that attitude, jump off the cliff and believe you have wings.
Yeah, I do. How'd you find out? No, I'm kidding. So, but for me, it's like... that's just my vibration. Whatever vibration God gave me here in talents, that's it. I put that out. And if I face you and I pick up a negative vibration, I would get out your way. I don't lie to anybody because if I feel like I got to lie to you, I don't put out that vibration. And if you don't like what I'm going to say to you, well, at least you know Tim told you the truth. But that's just how I am. And I believe from here on life, period, you know, when I have kids, every day they're going to be smiling, period. And they're going to know, okay, you got a negative, how can we change this into a positive? Or are you just going to sit into that negativeness and have, you know, affect your body and affect your life? But that's just how I am.
Well, I read somewhere that you began making films without no money at all. How's that possible?
Well, you know, for me and everything I say, Blake Radio Network audience is Tim Green's opinion only, not the opinions of Deatra or any other bystander. Now, for me, I don't jump through hoops. I don't wait for the phone to ring. I don't depend on people to come to my rescue. You know, I've had tons of meetings, and okay, Tim, call me when I get back from Paris, and okay, here's the check, but my kid is going to be the star, and I'm going to be the editor, and, you know, all those games. That I said, you know something, forget this. Let me just make this happen myself. So, you know, I know how to work those rebate checks and everything and get all my footage for free, get hundreds of dollars of rebates on my camera, and I made it happen with just rebate checks. And that's the first in history that people have made feature-length film, feature-length. And then the film broke records because it stayed on the new release shelf for almost a year, and it got bootlegged. So that showed me that I don't need $30 million to make a film if I really want to make a film, without tons of special effects and everything. But I relied on the comedy, and I got comedians, up-and-coming comedians who are on Apollo and on these deaf comedy jams, and I gave them a shot, and they proved well. And I just it took a couple years to make, But I made it happen, and I quit my radio job to make it happen. And people thought, like, are you out of your mind? You're quitting a job with benefits in a union market and the top market in the country? And I said, yes.
How did you get to the radio? How did you get your job in the radio?
I just made it happen myself. My major was business, and I said, you know, I don't even use that. Either you got a knack for this, and then in radio, you can't go, even if you went to Harvard School of Broadcasting, if you don't have a personality for radio that can attract people without them actually seeing you and get that theater of the mind, and I was just blessed to have that talent. And that 15, I started getting into radio, and then I got an internship, and I said, okay, I think I'm pretty good. So right out of high school, I just went to L.A. I woke up, sold all my stuff, said, Mom, I'm going to L.A. Like, are you kidding? 3 o'clock in the morning. And
Oh, my goodness.
And drove all the way to L.A. and got on the top station within 2 weeks. So, and that's in Los Angeles.
You just talked your way in?
No, I made a tape, and they saw my, I thought, I could say I'm better than every other. I said, look, I'm good. I think I have the voice, you know, and I'll be like, 100.2 The Beat, Tim Green. I'll be right back with more of your favorite jams on 106.5. So I said, okay, I can be just as good as anybody you have here. And then I had a knack for business, and I just sent the regular resume a couple times, and they liked what they heard, and they gave me a shot. And then for same thing for Philly, when you could do one major market, you can get into the Phillies, the Los Angeles, the New Yorks, the Atlantas. And now I'm going to get back in and syndication, just like Tom Joyner and Steve Harvey. I'm going to take it to that next generation.
You are, you saying, or you did?
Yeah, I am. I'm in the process of closing deals now because they're on their way out. So now I'm going to be the next one. And Steve Harvey does films and Tim Green does films. But I do films where I'm building my own Disney, where kids need that in the hood now because, you know, in Chicago they're killing kids and all kinds of craziness. So they need an outlet where you can see something at 4 years old and say, wow, this is cool without all the guns and without all the cursing.
Well, is that your plan? Is that your ultimate plan to build a Disney?
No, my ultimate plan is to live a happy life as much as possible while I'm still on this planet. That's my plan. But if I make movies that bless people, cool. You know, I've done whatever God wanted me to do, and that's it, and you have a nice life. So I'm not trying to build this big Tyler Perry empire, but if it happens to go there, so be it. But, you know, and I see from the kids that I've got on now and all the commercials they've done and during the NAACP Image Awards as host and reporters, so that shows me that I got the knack to do this. And then Messiah, he's on a TV series now. So it shows that if you can do it, why not take it to a higher level?
Well, speaking of that, do you think the hip-hop culture is in high demand on the big screen these days?
It's in high demand all over the planet. Even in Japan, I had a top radio show in Japan, and I'm like, do they understand what am I saying? And then I had a co-host, Vivi, who would speak in Japanese. But they love this culture all around the world. Australia, I had Rapping Granny, a 73-year-old rapper, in Australia. I had her on in London on television shows and CNN News all over the world. So it's hip-hop is great all over the world.
Who was Rapping Granny, by the way?
Yes, who is? She still is. She's on Everybody Hates Chris. I discovered her in Compton, California. So she's just rapping in the hood. And I said, wow, you're rapping, and you write your own raps, but you're rapping, you need to rap for these executives who can, you know, get you out there. And then I end up managing her, got her, 35 national commercials. She's on the Hallmark, tons of Christmas commercials, JCPenney, Sears, and then 17 feature films. She was in Don't Be a Menace. She's in Everybody Hates Chris, Steve Harvey Show. I got her a three-year deal with 20th Century Fox. She was on Beetleborgs for I think that was 3 or 4 seasons. So she's, you know, and I got her own Granny's breakfast cereal, rapping, her own hip-hop soda pop. So I was in merchandising, too. And I have Little Homies clothing line. We're going to have the Little Homies logo where whenever you see someone wearing that, you know we're giving back 30% to communities all around the country. So we're going to have video games, clothing lines, storybooks. Everything that Disney has, I'm going to have for my targeted audience of Little Homies.
Well, you know, Hollywood is always looking for a star. Do you think now due to reality shows, they're not necessarily non-stars can come in now and make it big. They don't have to have a name.
Well, not even just Hollywood. I mean, for me, I think outside of the box. I'm not even going for the big screen with my films. I'm going for the download audience, which is my audience, and new kids now on tablets. So if you have good content, and there are some good writers out there without Hollywood deals that are phenomenal, that are building their own audience on YouTube, and that's where they say by 2020, 75 to 95% of the audience are going to be on streaming. They're not even going to be watching television.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah, you got to keep up with the trends.
And then you don't have to go to the movies and pay up to $12 to watch a movie now.
Well, then you got to pay gas, and then you got to pay popcorn, and you got to pay, it's like $50 where you can just download, which Netflix and everybody's doing now, on video on demand. And for me, you know, while I'm sleeping, people are going to be downloading Little Homies, Tim Green's Cuties, or any of my other films, Super Kids, The Reprogrammers. And it's, you know, it's going to be real simple, but you got to be on top of that trend. Just like now, kids don't even know what VHS tape is. They don't even know what CDs are. I mean, they had an event where they left free CDs for the kids. Kids didn't even pick up the CDs. They're like, look, we're going to go download. You know, why should we take up all our space with a CD? Like, you know, this is old school. So,
I go to places now that give you boxes of CDs.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
free
on
the table.
1,000 to 4,000 songs on one little, you know, iPad. You know,
yeah, it's a young people's world.
Yeah, and it sounds crystal clear, everything. And you know, the battery lasts 5-6 hours. So, you know, you can't beat that.
Nope, you can't.
So I'd say,
well,
if you want to be a, go ahead.
Tell me about, I know up and coming is the Charlotte Black Film Festival. What is your involvement there besides attending?
I'm usually doing panels. I don't usually, enter films because I go straight to distribution. But I'm going to probably be at a panel that is going to tell people, you know, how they can turn their ideas into feature films. And then this Saturday, I'm going to be in Charlotte at the African American Walk of Fame. It's going to be, I think, at Independence High. And just go to North Carolina Film Factory. Just Google North Carolina Film Factory. It'll tell you all about it. And that's going to be a Black History event where they're going to have kids in costume, you know, playing the Harriet Tubmans and, you know, the Martin Luther Kings. They're going to play out and act out these events in Black history. And that's Saturday. And then the 28th through March 2nd, that's the Charlotte Black Film Festival, which they're going to have tons of stars, tons of Hollywood stars coming in, tons of screenings, tons of panels, workshop. Allison Mills Newman's going to be in Women in Entertainment. They're going to celebrate female producers. So,
oh, wow,
and
nice.
Then they have the CIAA, their big basketball tournament is going to be there. So it's going to be hundreds of thousands of people flying in from all over the country because it's CIAA week, and then the film festival and all these other events. So it's going to be, Charlotte is going to be just like a Democratic convention all next week. So,
well, I like the idea of Pitch Me. Do you know about that segment that they're doing something called Pitch Me?
Yeah, for me.
Ideas for the best films and TV and reality shows.
Yeah, I say that's a great thing, but for me, I can't be pitched to. I'm not going to be on that panel because, you know, for my protection, because I have like nine projects that's waiting to be shot. And say if you pitch your project and it happens to be on my fifth film, you know, you're going to have to say, wait a minute, Tim, I told you that idea. So I'm not going to be on the pitch panel because I have too many projects. And I have already 4 feature-length films that's ready to come out. So my panel is just to motivate you and say, hey, I've done it. I'm going to show you how you can book your own tours around the world. I'm going to give out a program that's going to show you how to run your own film studio. And then I'm going to give out over 15,000 of my media contacts. To some lucky, some lucky person, and then for a music person, 479 pages of music contacts that's going to take your life and change it for the better.
Just one person? This is what?
Just one person, you know, and you know, we'll see who that person is, you know, when we get there.
The contest?
No, you know, you'll know as the event goes on who's the person that's going to be most beneficial. To it, because some people want to be in this business, but they don't want to put the work in, or they're not prepared. And usually in every city from Chicago to New York to Cleveland, into the Detroit, you know, you'll see that it's always that one, two, or three people that are phenomenal that you know are going to do something with this instead of just say, okay, I'm going to just sit it there. Did you look at it? No, I didn't. Whatever. So,
well,
you know,
so
it's always
know
just like, yeah, you, if you're in the business, you know. Just like you for a journalist, you would know who has some journalistic abilities and who might go to the next level.
Exactly. Now, they also had a campaign, which I kind of like, and it was Stop the Bullying.
Yeah, I have
I
have a girl, Ayanna McMillan. She was on ABC TV with me also, and I've had her with me since 9. She's 16 now. And she shot, produced, directed, cast, and edited her own bullying film that they're going to a short film that are going to be shown in that segment. So it's just showing young kid filmmakers and what their thoughts are about bullying, not adults trying to make something for kids and they don't know what goes on in their genre. So they actually make these films, and then they're going to show them. It's going to be a competition. And I probably have Rebecca there, and she's a storyboard artist at 13 who made national news with Tom Joyner's Black America web on being one of the only African-American females at her age to do storyboards.
And does she does them like a real professional? Or?
No, not at all. She does them better than a real professional.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, because you said professional.
I mean, I saw some of her drawings.
No, she does them better. If you've seen her storyboards, and she wouldn't have made the number one news story in the country. Because the thing is, some people that are 10, 11, 12 are more talented than people in their 30s and 40s. But they're not given the opportunity because they say, oh, you have no focus. Rebecca has focus. I've known her since 9, and I watched her over the years. I don't just put people on. You know, I watch them over a 3-4 year period, and if they're still doing it and they're improving, there it is. And Rebecca, she can do a storyboard better, just as good as or better than anyone I've seen. And I've seen a ton of people. She compares with someone who's been doing it for 30, 40 years, because that's how blessed she is with her drawings. Because people draw in her family, and they draw well. And then she sold out her paintings with me at one of my events within 5 minutes. So if her paintings were that
wonderful.
Oh yeah, if her paintings were that bad, they would say, Tim, what do you have her here for?
Oh, of course.
So no, she's phenomenal, and she draws. She's not, you know, tweeting, and she's not on her cell phone, you know, putting on Facebook. She's drawing every second. She has an electronic little pad where she's drawing instead of just, you know, texting somebody.
Well, isn't that how you determine who's a dedicated person or not? Because they're always doing their craft.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I have
people. Well, they enjoy their craft, even.
I have people who enjoy their craft, but I'm in a studio, and I'm blessing them to get them in these auditoriums on panels with top executives, and they're tweeting or texting. So, and you know, and they're in college texting. So I'm like, come on, you can't text here, because we're in a theater, and your screen is lighting up the place, and these executives who may hire you are looking at you like, okay, who brought this person in here? So some people over-tweet and over-text at the events where they shouldn't, where Rebecca doesn't do that. So I don't, you know, and I don't have to worry about any crazy pictures popping up on Facebook with her, you know, so.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I call Facebook almost a spy network these days.
I mean, I have people who graduated college with honors, but when I've seen some of their Facebook pictures, I'm like, wow, this is not the person I met. So I can't, with my reputation, I can't put you on. Because I'm going to be guilty by association, whatever you associate with. And, you know, I don't say I'm perfect, but I live perfectly for me and my world, and I'm good.
Well, tell me about your tour, because you tour a lot. Are you presently touring?
Yeah, I'm on the, right now, celebrating Black History Makers of Tomorrow, and I'll be in Atlanta, I think, on next Monday. And then the lady who discovered the Trumpet Awards. She's going to be honored on the 2nd of March in Atlanta with a ton of other female producers that they're honoring. So I'm always in a different city probably every few days, but that's how you build your brand. That's how Tyler Perry built his brand of 17 years of traveling. But I don't have to do this for 17 years because, you know, the Internet is helps out dramatically.
He did a lot from the church circuit, didn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, for me now, you know, I do churches. I've done mega churches and packed churches in Charlotte and in Atlanta. So, you know, I do many, whatever venue, you know, and I've been on Broadway speaking, Times Square, all over. So when it's like motivation and it's just showing you, okay, look, you can make life happen. If I did this with nothing, and you can turn whatever you think is nothing into something.
Well, tell me about the workshops that you're doing around the country, too.
Yeah, those workshops are, you know, we discover, you know, who's talented, and then I show people on how you can get into this business if you really want to make life happen. And I've had, what, 38 now kids signed to Hollywood deals, and I didn't charge them a penny, didn't take a percentage, and now they're relocated, they're living in Hollywood, going after all their dreams and making money. But they were talented from each city, and I said, okay, look, your kid has to spark. What do you want to do? But your life is going to have to be their life. And some moved, some sold their houses, some are renting their houses out and living in Los Angeles. Some, the husband is staying in one city, and the wife is taking the kids to L.A. So, you know, you're either going to make this happen or you don't, and that's what I do. I do, you know, like acting workshops or motivational workshops on how you can, you know, do what you want to do, go after your dreams, and then I give out secrets on how to be a multimillionaire. So it's not just film. It's about life, period. Then I go into the prisons and speak and, you know, tell people, okay, you made that one mistake. Now what are you going to do when you get out now?
Have you ever dealt with anybody that has come out?
Not usually. I can't because sometimes you don't know exactly what they've done to get in. And, you know, and I can't just, you know, I can't keep up with, even with all the kids I got in Hollywood. If I'm going to have a regular life and have my own kids and have a, you know, a life like, okay, let's go to the tennis court, kids, I can't keep up with, you know, 100 or 200 other people. You know, I keep with all their lives. I set you up and say, there you go, you're off to the races. And then from time to time, okay, you doing okay? Good. Because still some people fail themselves. They're not, you know, completely ready. And, you know, I wouldn't have that kind of time to set you up, and then you still fail, or you still get into drugs, or you still get into, you know, stuff that you know you shouldn't have gotten into, you know, because of your bad decision-making. But you can't say I didn't necessarily set you up, you know, for greatness.
Do you have a book? Have you written a book or something?
Yeah, I have one that shows how I did everything with pictures and copies of the checks, because people are not going to believe that I did all of this. And so I document everything. I have for the last probably 20 years what I've done every single day in these daytimers. So from airplane trips to my itinerary for tennis at 13, traveling the country. So, you know, it shows that I've done it. And really anybody can do this. And I've done it without an agent, without a manager. But those are, you know, those are good for your career. But I've managed to do that without.
Well, what's the name of your book?
Well, no, it's unnamed now. It's just, you know, for me, I'm just branding me first, because as the year go by, I might have to change the title, and then I might have to change that again, and then I might have to change this again. But it's going to be more film-related and life-related of just, you know, something, probably something catchy. You know, all I've been doing is just documenting everything, and I got everything in a nice little booklet. So now when my films get released and things hit, and then the radio show is broadcast into 60 million people on terrestrial radio, just like Steve Harvey, Tom Joyner, I get to plug it and say, hey, go buy it, you know, go get the book, and he has the number one seller.
So
and my
audience
is
still in the works.
It really is complete. It's just a matter of me putting it out. I mean, I have a ton of stuff that's complete. I mean, I got 4 feature-length films that's done. I mean, Little Homies is 1 hour, 15 minutes, phenomenal, but I hadn't released it yet. Rapping Granny's video, exceptional video, nobody's seen yet. I might give that as a bonus with the movie that I download. So right now I just got everything built up, and then now once I get back in radio, build that audience, and then I'll have releases for the next 3-4 years where I won't have to actually shoot another film for 3-5 years.
Now, when you get back in radio, will you be stationary for a while?
And that's the thing that's probably going to be hard, because I'm all over the place for years that I would have to be in one city and every day and at the exact same time. So that may be the hard part. So, you know, but
Have you chosen a city?
No, for me, you know, I'll have no kids, I'm not married. It can be wherever. It can be Zimbabwe, and I'll be there. So, you know, I have no obligations. So, it may be Atlanta, New York, or Los Angeles, because that's where they have all the satellites and technology equipment. All right, but probably even Chicago, because that's another media market.
Oh,
yeah, you know, I was there, too, and the cold is just blistering. I think that's where I caught that bad cold from. Even when you're wrapped up, you know, three layers, that wind still cuts you.
Oh, my God, yeah. I remember being there, and the wind was so strong, it plastered me against a building. I'd never felt wind like that.
Yeah, it comes off of that water, of that ocean, and it's like, that's it. Even when I'm in airplane, I didn't like getting out of the airport there. Just the wind just knocks the plane all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Every time you take off, even landings, I'm like, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster in Chicago.
It's scary.
No, it is, really, because, you know, I said, this thing could, the wind can knock this plane right out in
flip
seconds.
It over.
Yeah, in seconds. But, you know, so far I've been blessed.
So far.
Can't complain.
Well, tell me about I read that your company, you describe it as a full service from script to screen film production company.
Right.
And you say you specialize in niche films. Is it niche films?
Yeah.
What is that? I was unfamiliar with that.
It's my own design, where films that Hollywood doesn't do. I mean, have you ever heard of a film that Hollywood has ever done in history with 7-year-old African-American little kid superheroes that use their superpowers to take their neighborhood back? You ever seen that before?
No.
Yeah. And then
I've seen others, but
yeah.
Never African-American.
Yeah, never like that. Even 7-year-old, yeah, that's right, even 7-year-old African-Americans. And then to use their superpowers for good to take their neighborhood back from these thugs. And then the reprogrammers. You know, these are inventors, you know, African-American kid inventors who invent devices that goes on their wrists and it reprograms the thugs in their neighborhood. And it's called the reprogrammers.
Wow.
And it reprograms.
Now, that'll be a night show.
Oh, yeah. It reprograms their negative thoughts into positive thoughts. And that's another killer project that's already done. That's ready to come out. And, you know, then we.
Is it a film, though, or is it, that could be a TV show?
Oh, no, that's a feature. And Little Homies will be the TV show and the cartoon, because that's like a franchise that's going to be around like Sesame Street, you know, forever. Every 5 years, there's going to be a new set of kids that's going to want to see Little Homies, just like Little Rascals. It's Little Rascals meets hip-hop.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we have everybody. You heard 50 Cent. Our little kid is named 20 Cent. So.
Oh, that's cute.
And, you know, and it's about empowering themselves, and media is powerful. So that's what my films are. It's not pushing anything down your throat. It's like, look, this is fun. You didn't see any guns. Nobody was cursing at each other or calling each other out your name. Just like my Discover Your Greatness tours. And, you know, that's what I'm about. My things are positive. That's it. If it's negative, you won't see me anywhere around.
Tell me about your Discovery of Greatness tours.
Well, Discover Your Greatness tour is everybody has some sort of greatness that they may not realize. And when we go into these cities, these kids are getting straight A's, valedictorians, which is, you know, the person with the highest grades in the school, you know, upon graduation. I would hear these terms like, yeah, we're going to make it rain. And that's, you know, when they make it rain, throw money at a girl dancing. I said, okay, well, let's make it rain with greatness. And when your daughter brings home straight A's, grandma, mom, brother, sister, the whole neighborhood is going to make it rain. So now every female in that neighborhood has an incentive to say, wow, they're making all this money and making it rain for getting straight A's. Let me bring my C's up to straight A's. So they have incentives now to say, okay, we're going to have a make it rain party, just like any other ethnicity might have, you know, other things or other events that they do. And then we have kids say the new B word instead of the itch word. I say, no, say, what's up, beautiful? And then I have on film when we test that, and you'll see all the females' faces light up, and they send up a positive energy and a positive vibration when they're called beautiful instead of, hey, you, other B word.
A negative. Which is an awful, awful thing. You know, we need to stop that.
Yeah, it sends up negative vibrations, and you can see that, because I said, okay, let's try this again so people can see on film. And then
so many little girls have such negative images of themselves based on that.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, that's where we're changing that. And I'm getting the guys at 3 and 4 and 5, so by the time they're 20, they can't say, but, yo, what's up, beautiful? And you can't frown at that. So,
no,
I got
it's a very
on tape.
Positive thing to do.
You know, yeah, and we document it where you'll see that kind of energy you send out when you say, what's up, beautiful? or, you know, hey, you look beautiful today. What's up, beautiful? And I'm not trying to come at you at a whatever type of way. I'm just saying, hey, what's up, beautiful?
Because I think that'll change some of the anger that's felt between.
Oh, no, it has. We have 200-300 people per event, and you can see that the females all smile. And nobody says, okay, smile after they say it. No, you can just see what it sends, the energy it sends. And, you know, we got it all on film to show people, like, okay, you see that? So anything negative sends a frown, you know, and it sends up anger. So, you know, and I'm not about anger, so, I don't even argue. So, but that's just
great. How did you develop that? You just have it, always had it in you from, you never let people bother you?
I mean, people are going to say anything about my films or anything. Oh, I didn't like that. Oh, little homies, you know, kids can't be good. Okay, whatever. So, I mean, I think I'm on my own planet, you know, and I don't think nobody else is worrying about, oh, I wonder what Tim's doing. So I'm doing, you know, me and whatever talents I was given to put out. So, and, you know, some people may not like the film, you know, but that's not my problem. You're not my audience.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you about, you're a songwriter.
Yeah, I first started out rapping, can you believe? And if you go back to listen to my songs, they're all positive, too, at 13, 14. You know, I'm doing positive lyrics, but they were dance, you know, and they were pretty good. And I was traveling around the country, too, at different radio stations with my songs that they were playing in clubs. And then I would, Larry Blackman of Cameo, he signed me at, like, what, 15, when I was writing songs. And I was, even in high school and college, I'm still flying around the airport, you know, going to different events. And it was like totally like, wow. But it showed you can do this right out the so-called hood.
Now you, for Black History Month, you did something on Martin Luther King?
Yeah, it's a black medical doctor, Dr. A.L. Bradford, an exceptional medical doctor. And Paul Murphy and Bill Wynn, we did this song that's going to be around forever. And it's not a rap. It's a, you know, he's singing like, you know, sort of opera type thing about Martin Luther King. And it's called A Martin Luther Anthem for an American Hero. And I'm not, you know, I'm giving that song away. So for me, it's not about trying to make money off of people. It's about once you hear this, you know, same thing, sends up a positive vibration. And like I said, still, some people may hate it. No, I want to hear a rap and, you know, talking whatever about someone. But for, you know, my audience, you know, like I said, everybody's not going to like everything. But I think so far that song is great. And they made me the Grand Marshal of the Hollywood King Parade, Kingdom Day Parade. So that was a blessing.
Yes, indeed.
To be in Hollywood, to be on NBC.
And for some people that want to hear it, I think I have your song right here.
Oh, wow, great.
So let me play it for the listening audience.
Sure.
If it'll let me.
And it's Martin Luther King, Anthem for an American Hero, sung by Dr. A.L. Bradford.
And here we go.
Was a man who understood he was a man, and he knew what life was meant to be. He had a dream, not just an ordinary dream, that for once God's children would be free. He stood so tall, and he loved us all, and he thought that justice may prevail. Martin Luther, Martin Luther King, we will remember you forever. when all the world was on the line and oppression was the easy out. But then he said that freedom is for all mankind, so why don't we all stand up and shout for peace, my friend, and for love, and then maybe one day justice will prevail. Martin Luther King, we will remember you forever. Let the people sing that one day we'll be
Remix? No, that was over 2 million free downloads, okay? So that shows I'm not trying to make money off of people. Over 2 million people downloaded that for free thanks to the internet.
Wow. And you wrote it?
No, I produced that one. That was Paul Murphy.
He's
the writer. Like, I've wrote probably about 17 other singles. And
well, I saw that some of your songs made the Billboard Top 10.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, I don't produce now because I don't have that kind of time. You know, because I used to just spend, you know, you're doing these songs like 15, 18 hours a day in the studio. But for me now, I think with music, you know, it's hard to make any money off of music because kids download all your songs for free now. So my time is mostly spent in film, but now they're going to be downloading films for free and bootlegging films. So it's like it's going to be hard as an artist to really do anything unless you really branded yourself and you have a huge following, so like a Tyler Perry. You know.
So how do you make money with everything going? Well, not everything, obviously, but
oh, for me, I still get royalty checks. Matter of fact, I went a couple of days ago. Hey, thank you, royalties. and you know, it's for me, I'm building my audience. So if I just release Little Homies for 50 cents, remember people used to go to Blockbuster for $3.99 and never even see the movie, just rent it off of the cover that they see or read about on the back of the box. You know, you got 20 million kids all around the world. China has over 1 billion people. At least 30 million little kids are going to watch Little Homies. And I had my first movie Creepin' in subtitles in Spanish and French. So all I got to do is just throw some subtitles in there, and you get 50 cents or even 99 cents times 1 million out of 20 million people or 3 million kids out of 30 million kids all over the internet, you're good. I mean, this group out of Atlanta got over 60 million views on iTunes, and they're multimillionaires now within 6 months thanks to the internet.
Wow.
So that's where everything is going. And while you sleep, you get, you know, 500,000 kids downloading your movie.
Wow. Can you imagine if 60 million kids download your thing for $1?
Well, and most likely that will happen because of the low cost. You'll get high volume, and because most movies now are $21 in the store, you know, for a DVD, and that's kind of expensive for the kids that watch my stuff. I want to make it, you know, $1.99, $1, and if 20 million, if 60 million, and that's feasible out of hundreds of millions of kids around the globe, and all I have to do is get subtitles put in, and I'll probably get back half of that. You know.
Well, I find it cheaper myself, like watching Netflix or going to Redbox
going
to Hulu.
Yeah, Redbox.
It's so much cheaper than buying.
$1 at Redbox. And now you just get it on your, they got, what is this thing called? Roku, where you can watch everything, you know, via on the web. If you got a web connection, you can watch every, you know, some people don't even need cable anymore. And it's only $39 for a Roku box. So that's where everything is going. And still, if you just make $500,000 per film, you're good. You know, you buy your house, you buy your car, and then most people work 30 years to pay off the house. So
exactly. And you know, you don't have to be greedy.
No, you know, you have to know how to manage money. And for me, I live well below my means. So
I was just looking in the paper that Mary J. Blige is about to be evicted.
Well, you know, that happened to a lot of people. Jermaine Dupri, tons of people. Chris Tucker has like $11 million IRS balance. You know, and I don't need a
big house. But her rent is $12,000 a month.
Yeah, for me, I'd rather have like maybe four houses, one in, you know, New York, L.A., Charlotte, in the, you know, midst, and have them paid for. And even if you get a fixer-upper house for like $30,000, you can fix it up the way you want it to be. And
exactly.
You're good, and it's paid for. Just pay the taxes, and thank you, have a nice day. And maybe I drive a regular car, so I'd rather pay for three cars that are average, that are paid for, and that way it cuts down on my car rental expense.
Well, also, you're an athlete.
Yes. I was like, wow, all of the above. Yeah, started playing tennis at 13 and traveling all around the country, and I still have my itineraries. I was on airplanes at 13, getting out the hood. And I have like over 120 tennis awards that I was just looking at some today, sitting on the dining room dresser, where I got into tennis. Everybody else was playing basketball, but some of the other kids were playing tennis on the block. So I said, all right, let me try tennis. And I got good at it and was able to, you know, get into all these organizations. And Arthur Ashe got me a scholarship. That I was going to Princeton, tennis camp at Princeton University at like 14. So
that's great.
And then, you know, had all kinds of scholarships and then got to L.A. and started playing all the celebrity tournaments. And I won a lot of Make-A-Wish Foundation. I won John McEnroe's, Beverly Hills Country Club, Riviera Country Club. I got to play at Venus and Serena and at their they have now a tennis facility on Rodeo in La Brea in L.A.
Now, are more black youth getting into tennis than ever before?
I'd say not like ever before. It's, you know, because even on some of the courts I go to now, they're barren. But there are some coming up. I've seen a few coming up that are, 16, 17. And Venus, Serena came to the, you know, defense of one girl. They said she was too big or too fat to play tennis. But, you know, some of our girls are built, you know, kind of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, can they play? Yes. And are they winning? So, you know,
weren't
not
they saying that about the Venus and anyway, but she was too heavy originally?
Well, yeah. Now Serena's back at number one in the world. So, you know, and that's a plus that, you know, these kids were doing their thing. And, you know, I had some who were top at their game, but then they got caught up in other stuff. And, you know, I had some that were number one at 14 in the country. But by the time they got 17, 18, they got into, you know, wanted to be reality stars. So, and I'm like, wow, you know, blew all of that, all of those years of training. But, you know, to each his own.
Well, you can never go back, right? I mean, once you quit,
you know, you have to, just like anything, that's like a doctor not operating for 2 years. Would you want him, or would you want somebody who's been on the top of their game every day, you know, operating on heart patients every single day, as opposed to somebody who said, well, you know, I hadn't done it in 2 years, but let's try it. But sign this release form. So, you know, just like anything, I mean, tennis, I'm not I'm competitive, but I can't play in tournaments because I don't have that kind of time to play all week. Because usually I would at least go to the semis or finals, and I don't have that kind of time that this sit on the court, you know, 15 hours to win a trophy or, you know, whatever dollar amount they have, because it takes that much time on a film set. And then these films last forever. You know, my little homies is going to be around even when I'm not here.
Exactly. And you could always do a film about tennis.
You know, yeah, easy. They have, I think, director I know did a documentary on Venus and Serena. And, you know, like I said, that's going to be around forever to motivate other kids. I mean, you know, you try to emulate what you see, and you would try to play like them. You know, I would try to play like Arthur Ashe or some of these other, when I was just coming up, like, wow, or some of the top players I would see. And that's what you do. Just like anybody in the hood, if they see someone do good, the kids are going to try to emulate that. If I cursed on my set, the kids would emulate that and say, well, Mr. Tim, you said no good. And I'm like, whoa, no, I didn't. So, you know, you got to watch all that stuff.
And I guess that's what people don't realize, that you, when you're a role model, that's what you are.
And I don't consider myself even a role model. I consider, you know, whatever God put me here to do, okay, if it's motivating or changing people's lives, and some people said, wow, that changed my life, what you did, I'm like, okay, what did I do? But in the type of films that I put out, that's how I live my life, period. You know, but that's the decisions I make. You're not going to get me into anything that I consider negative. I'll stay out of your way and say, hey, bless you, do your thing. You know, send me the link. I'm good. So,
well,
you know,
you
I got to.
You've been an actor, right?
Yeah, I've been in, films with Chris Rock, Jamie Foxx, Oprah, Tom Cruise. But as an actor, in my opinion only, everything I say is my opinion, you know, you have to beg for parts. And you're going up against parts with people, you know, who've been on network television, and you got 200 people going up for one little part. So I said, you know something, let me just be a creator now and create my own destiny and create my own films. And now I got to do what? I got to learn how to shoot. I got to learn how to direct. I got to learn how to cast. I do the castings. I do the editing 15 hours a day for 8 months. I do some of the music. So,
did you teach yourself that, or others taught you?
No, you have to. I taught myself that. I had the editing machine was sitting there for months, and I said, you know something? Let me get on this thing. And then Apple has one where it teaches you how to edit. You know, it has a little dog. Make the dog get the water, and then you edit. And my films get better and better, as you'll see. I mean, you can edit. As you watch a movie, you see how they make the cuts. So I watch all these films, and I say, okay, now we cut to the full shot. Now we cut to the medium shot. Okay, now the over-the-shoulder shot, that's what that is, okay. And I would get the books that you would read if you were in film school. I said, okay, let me just do this. And I've learned from doing it. And, you know, if you can afford and go to film school and spend 4 years, cool. I'd rather spend 4 years of actually making movies. My very first movie that I made got distribution without going to film festivals, right on the shelf next to Warner Brothers, Universal Studios. And I had like eight films per store, and they were all
what
sold
was
out.
Film?
That was Creepin'. That was the very first film.
What was that about?
That was a spoof. It was like a scary movie before Scary Movie. But I couldn't but I couldn't get it out. It took me about 2 to 3 years to shoot. So by the time they had the second one, I was like, wow. And, you know, and I got called to take the film off the market, you know, because they were going to combine five writers for a Scary Movie. But I knew what type of jokes I had. I don't want to be combined with four or five other writers. I said, you know, mine is a standalone, and I know what my audience wants, because I did hip-hop radio. So I know, I have an idea what type of jokes they like, just like Tyler has an idea what his audience likes.
Right. Madea.
Yeah, but he has the most number one films than anybody in Hollywood right now.
And it's amazing that I read that people say they don't even know who he is. But
yep.
I don't see how they don't.
They don't know who he is, like in what aspect?
They never heard of him, period.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's how Hollywood is. I mean, African-Americans have heard of him for the past 17 years, but even after 17 years, Hollywood still never heard of him. But, you know, he's never been to Sundance, he's never been to Cannes, but guess what? You don't have to hear me. If my audience is making me, he made, what, $380 million last year? And, you know, it's a lot of people who probably haven't heard of me. You haven't probably heard of me until you saw one of the articles, but I've been doing this for a minute. I have my own audience built in. And, you know, I'm not worrying about anybody ordaining me. It's like, look, I've done this. I know where I'm at. Thank you. And he's not worrying about accolades. He's like, look, I'm serving my audience. I'm showing forgiveness in these pictures. They're not, everybody's not killing each other, but that's his type of film. And some who, if you don't like it, guess what? You're not meant for his genre of films.
Exactly. I mean, I've met him. He seems like a decent guy.
Hey, I mean, my brother's worked with him for past 9 years.
He has?
Past 9 years, marketing all his films, when he his plays when he comes to certain areas.
And actually, Madea's kind of funny. He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, it's like everybody has their own niche, you know. And for me, you know, he has a great, excellent business sense. I mean, I got his first flyer when he was real skinny and when he was doing plays. So, you know, we've seen the transition. And he takes care of his people. I mean, he paid my brother double than what his bill was on, you know, to do the street marketing. So he takes care of his people. So that's what you do. And for me, people that are loyal, you know, I'll look out forever. But if you're not, I act like I never met you. Like, we met where? Really? Oh, wow. But, you know, that's just real. This business can be very tricky at times.
Well, let me ask you, when are you coming to New York to do your workshop? Because how do you get people? I guess, do you advertise so people know?
People bring me in. Like, I have organizations that bring me in. And then, like all these tours, I've built up a reputation. And they bring me in and they put me up. And, you know, sometimes, depending on the event, if they're charging people $2,000 and $3,000, which some of them are $2,000 and $3,000 to hear me. But these are, you know, these are upper echelon people that can move to L.A. tomorrow. And but if, you know, any organization, sometimes I did one in Brooklyn, I did one in Harlem, and that organization will bring me in, even if it's just for their people. And then, you know, I'll do the publicity of maybe getting it in the newspaper. So if you want to bring people in, but I usually, if, you know, for me to just come in like that and keep it free, for people, and that's where in these certain hoods I like to keep it free, you know, they would have to get the venue, and usually all of those things are taken care of. I just come in as a motive, just like a speaker, just like a Les Brown would come in, you know, and he gets like $30,000. But for me, if it's a nonprofit and I'm free and available, I'll come in and you know, do a couple hours just for their organization. Or say Blake Radio had an event, entertainment symposium or something, and they had a couple of speakers, and then I'd say, okay, Tim, you do the entertainment. Okay, good, you bring me in. And you know, depending on what the event is, and I usually bring in prizes. I give out like 50, like this weekend in Charlotte, I'm going to give out 50 new cell phones. At the film festival, I got about another 40 new cell phones I'm going to give away. Plus, I'm going to give away programs on how you can run your own studio. You know, and I cover all the prizes and all the expenses on that.
That's cool.
You
should send me one of your books. Send me one of your programs.
Yeah, it's like usually, you know, they do all of that. All I do is just show up. You know, I say, okay, where can I make it? I'm usually booked sometimes a year in advance, but I'm trying to slow that down, though, so I can do the radio show and be in one city. You know,
well, do you have a website that the people that are listening today can, they want to know more about you or how some of the kids can get in touch with you or whatever?
Well, you know, really, kids can't get in touch with me because you have to have your parent. So, you know, you're under 18, you cannot email me. You cannot call me. I have no Facebook. I have no Twitter. I have no Instagram because, you know, you can't have your kid poke Tim Green. No. So go to Tim Green Films, but you have to be 18 or over to even try to contact me or even try to call or text, not even any text. Just go to the email. And it's all on the website. You'll get to see some of the samples of the films. And I don't have a Facebook or anything because, you know, it's hard to answer 19,000. I had 19,000 emails. No way I could get through all of that. So I said, okay, if I come to your city, you'll read about it. You'll see it on news on ABC, NBC, or CBS News because usually those cities cover me. And then if you're on your job and you're motivated, you'll know where I'm going to be.
And that's they can go to www.timgreenfilms.com.
Or just Google Tim Green Films, and it'll take you. You'll be able to find me, really.
Well, we have only a few seconds left in this show, so I'll just ask you a quick question. What's on the horizon? I guess you've told me everything, though.
Sleep. That's on my horizon. After this show, I'm going to bed for the first time. No, just keep whatever God has for me in the next eternity. That's why I'm fulfilling and just keeping positive and blessing as many people positively as possible. And that's it. I'm good till I'm off the planet.
Well, I bless you, and thank you so much for being part of the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to such a wonderful spirit, and thank you for sharing with us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, and thank Blake Radio Network. Wow, they're doing their thing. And Teen Sensation and Star and Sheila and everybody for having me on, and you too, Deitra, for just all the greatness you're doing.
You're quite welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And for my audience, this is Topically Yours, and I'm your host, Deirdre Shuler, and we've been talking to filmmaker extraordinaire and everything else. He's done it all.
I'm running for president, too. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
You don't have time for that.
But not, when I was a kid, I said if I would have ran for president, I would have won. And that was as a kid, for real. I did say that. You know,
well, you know what? I believe you would.
Yeah, you know, I think I have a knack for people and keeping everything positive and, you know, democratically winning for people.
Well,
for
you
people.
Can certainly show everybody how they can improve their economy and their income.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be trillions of dollars in debt if I was right now. Everybody be using coupons and rebates like I did.
There
and below
go.
Your means and owning your houses and cars.
See, we definitely need to vote for you.
But
anyway, I'm going to end the show. Well, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Don't give up the idea. Don't give up the idea.
I'm going to be chilling with whoever my kids are going to be. So.
Well, maybe they'll run.
Uh-oh.
Anyway,
thank you.
You've been listening to Topically Yours, and I thank my listeners for making my topic Topically Yours. Good night now.